Good morning, and can I welcome you to this time of worship, as well as welcome any visitors, and also to extend the good wishes of the congregation to those who will worship with us at a later time through listening to a recording of the service. There's one extra intimation that appears at the back of the order of service, and that is an intimation from Canon McManus about a service called Light Up a Life Service to be held in the, on the afternoon of Sunday the 5th of December by the Ardrossan and Salkett's Churches Group. It's a short service of prayer, music and reflection, remembering family members and friends who have passed through death this year or in the recent past. It also goes on to pray. It'll be a service of music and prayer for those who are left behind. And there'll be a collection for the Ayrshire Hospice, as well as the customary cup of tea at church events. Last Sunday, of course, we had our joint remembrance service in Ardeer, and that means that we don't have our poppy wreath here around our plaque. So Bobby is going to place our poppy wreath around the plaque. So if I could ask the congregation to stand for a moment, please. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all men and women who have given their lives in the service of the country and in the maintaining of our safety. We remember also those who returned from war, but returned different people from what they went. We remember those mothers, fathers, wives, husbands, sons and daughters who are left without anyone. Be with them this day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 95 begins, "Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise." We begin our time of praise singing the first hymn on the sheet, "Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness with a Liberating Light." Unfamiliar words, but a familiar tune.
The One Who Frees the
Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, you have made our minds, so help us to know you. You have made our hearts, so help us to love you. You have made our voices, so help us to sing your praise. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, so that together we may celebrate your glory and your care of us. Father God, we thank you for the things that we often take for granted, our homes, the food that we eat, the love and care of our family and friends. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your greatest gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus. May we every day try to follow his example and live our life in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord God, we know that we regularly slip up in our trying to be like Jesus by thinking things that are unpleasant and wrong, by saying things that it would have been better to have left unsaid, and by doing things that are uncaring or unkind. Lord God, forgive us all that we do wrong. Grant us a clean and fresh start. All these things we ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. And we continue our prayer in the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want just very briefly to deviate again from the order of service, because while I was preparing for this service today, I was contacted by Ken Welsh to say that Robert Travers in Ardeer had been unwell and he was unable to take the service in Ardeer this morning, and would I go down there after I finished here to take the service down there. But in Ardeer, I have to do obviously a children's address as well. So I had to try and think of a children's address, and getting a children's address that fits in with what I'm speaking about to you folks as adults put a different dimension on what I'm talking about, and you'll see that I'm talking about reflecting in mirrors. It puts a different dimension. So to make some of the hymns a wee bit more understandable, I'm going to take a leaf out of Andrew's book. And Andrew always says that he does a wee preamble to the service. Well, I'm going to do what the mobile phone companies call a bolt-on to the sermon. With the children in Ardeer, I'm going to be talking about lighthouses and how that to make the light of a lighthouse be seen, the light bulb itself is insufficient. So to make it brighter and stronger, what they do is that they surround it with small lenses or mirrors. And of course, that means that the light from the bulb shines onto the mirror, which shines onto another mirror, that shines onto another mirror, and so on, so that this bulb, which is a very bright light to begin with, is an even brighter light. And of course, Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, that we are light for the world, because lots of people in the world don't know of him and his love, and they don't know how to live their life and are actually very lost. Well, we and the children aren't light bulbs, and we can't be light bulbs, but what we can be is mirrors. We can be mirrors, and that the mirrors will reflect the love of God and the love of Jesus. Because just as the mirror surrounding the bulb and the lighthouse strengthen and make the light stronger, when we are kind, when we show respect, and we give consideration to others, we are taking Jesus' light and showing it to others, to help make God's light stronger than others. For children, we're singing "This Little Light of Mine." For you as the adults, we're singing "God, Whose Almighty Word." And that's why we're singing one of the same hymns that we sang last week. First reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, and reading from verse 1. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered round him and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. And then, in the book of James, James chapter 1, we read from verse 19. James chapter 1, reading from verse 19. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees himself as he is. He takes a good look at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But those who look closely into the perfect law that sets people free, who keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, they will be blessed by God in what they do. Do any of you think you are religious? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless and you deceive yourself. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Our third hymn, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. Question: do you have a morning routine? I most certainly do. And it doesn't matter how early or how late I am, I do and follow the same routine. I call it a routine. I'm sure a doctor would call it OCD. But do you know something? It doesn't annoy my wife in the least. I write, as they say. Some part of everyone's morning ritual is coming face to face with the mirror. Most of us probably get our first look at ourselves when we're still quite scary looking. Our eyes have that sort of bleary look, our hair is sticking out in all directions, and we men have some scruffy overnight growth or beards to deal with. But mirrors are honest. They don't gloss over our defects and tell us we are better looking and younger looking than we really are. They show every grey hair, line, spot and pimple. And you know what? The better the mirror, the more flaws they show. My mother-in-law was a very forthright lady who shot straight from the hip. And I remember well once when she brought me down to earth when we were talking about mirrors. I well remember the day that I was reading the paper and looking at a guy in the paper. I think he was a criminal or a robber or something. But when I read the article, he was the exact same age as me. And I did what I'm sure all of us have done. We might not admit to it, but I'm sure all of us have done. I showed her the picture of this guy and said to her, "Look at him. Do you think he looks the same age as me? Do you not think I look an awful lot younger than he looks?" So after giving the picture a quick glance, she said, "Oh, aye, definitely. You look a lot younger than he does. Mind you, you look in a different mirror for everybody else." Unpleasant as it may be to confront ourselves in the mirror in the morning, if we don't take a look at ourselves and make some adjustments, the world's going to see the wrong face. It's going to see the morning face. So better to face what we see and make changes and make ourselves presentable to the world. We're all familiar with Snow White, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" The wicked queen liked it when the mirror told her that she was the fairest, but when it told her that she wasn't, she got very angry and very jealous. Mirrors tell the truth, even if we don't like it. They let us see the person that we really are. Who is the person that each of us sees in the mirror each morning when we look at it? Do we see the person that everyone else sees? Or are we like what my mother-in-law accused me of? Are we looking in a different mirror from everyone else? When we look in a mirror, do we see the real us? Do we see an accurate reflection? All of us at some time will have been in a hall of mirrors where you stand in front of a mirror and some make you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, others make you short and fat. Mind you, I often think an ordinary mirror does that for me. And some, like my favourite, make you tall and slim. The passage we read in the letter of James talks about looking in a mirror. Mirror in James's day were probably made of highly polished metal and therefore wouldn't give people a particularly accurate reflection of what they really looked like. A bit like the mirrors in our Hall of Mirrors. For a mirror to work properly, it mustn't be distorted. It must show an accurate picture, flaws and all. Because if we don't know that the flaws are there, how can we do something about them? Of course, the whole reason behind my mirror stories and analogy is to highlight what we read in the book of James, the Bible reading. "So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees himself as he is. He takes a good look at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like." How can anyone look in a mirror and forget what they look like? Well, if it's like the distorted mirrors in the Hall of Mirrors, where you don't trust the image, you can forget what you look like. But another reason that we can forget what we look like could be because we realise that we've got a problem to fix. We know that the mirror we have to look in to see the real us, and the mirror that James is talking about, is the Bible, God's Word. How many of us feel we look good when we look in God's mirror to see a reflection? Our other reading this morning was the passage that we know as the Beatitudes. How many of us can read through that list of people who will be blessed and say that we tick all the boxes? Possibly none of us. And that's probably why we can, from time to time, walk away from God's mirror and forget what we look like. We are, each of us, guilty at looking in the wrong mirror from time to time. Perhaps it's a dull mirror, like a polished metal or like a shop window idea, a mirror that doesn't give a clear view of what's right and what's wrong. Or perhaps it's a broken mirror, a mirror that's cracked and unable of revealing the full truth. Or perhaps it's a small mirror, a mirror that while it gives a good image, we've got to look really closely to see that good image. The small mirror represents the Bible, and James tells us that it gives a perfect reflection and can show us our strengths and our weaknesses. The only problem is that for the mirror to work, we have to get up close to it. And more importantly, don't walk away from it without doing something about what we see and what we don't like. I've told the story before that I came across some time ago, but it's worth repeating here. It concerns a man speaking at a seminar. This happened some years ago, and he showed his listeners a $20 bill. And that was possibly prior to Mr. Trump going to be the president-elect as well. But he showed a $20 bill, and he asked his listeners to put their hands up as to who would like the $20 bill. And of course, everyone in the room put their hands up. Then he took the $20 bill and he crumpled it up and again asked who would like the $20 bill. Everyone in the room again put their hands up. So then he said, what if I do this? And he put it onto the ground and he took his shoe and he crumpled it onto the ground. And again he asked, hands up those who would like the $20 bill. And of course, even after he had done all of that, every hand in the room went up. And he said that they had all learned a valuable lesson, because no matter what he did to the $20 bill, its value was still the same. And no matter what has happened, we'll never lose our value in God's eyes. To him, dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, we are still priceless. When we look into the mirror of God and his word, what do we see? Well, we see our flaws, but we see that we are not the only one who has flaws. Everyone has flaws and everyone has sinned. But we see also that Jesus died for those sins. And we see also that by believing in that same Jesus Christ, we can be changed forever. The Apostle James describes God's word as a mirror in which we can see ourselves reflected. It shows us that although we were created to reflect God's character in our sinful condition, we are spiritually ugly. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are, as is written in John's Gospel, spiritually reborn. Then, as we look into God's Word, we see ourselves as God sees us. And we see that in His eyes, our ugliness has been transformed into the beauty of Christ's likeness. And hopefully we will grow each day in that likeness. And the Bible, of course, is unlike any other mirror. Because in Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, God's mirror can make us beautiful on the inside. So let's use God's mirror, not the small one, where we keep God at a distance for fear of what we might see about ourselves if we look up close. Not the different mirror from everyone else that shows us only as we see ourselves. Rather, let's use the full-length mirror, as it's the only way that we can get an accurate picture of what we look like and an accurate picture of what others see of us. Amen. We sing the next hymn on our sheet, Lord, the light of your word is shining. Lord, we continue to worship God in our offering. Let's come before God again once more in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we lay before you our monetary offerings, asking that your blessing may be put upon them, and that they might be used wisely for your work here in our parish and further afield. Lord God, may they help this church to reflect your truth and love to others, here and elsewhere. Father, we take time now to pray for others in their wide and diverse need. Lord, we pray for the sick, asking that they might be aware of your healing presence. We remember the lonely and depressed, asking that their life may be brightened and that somehow they lose the feeling that they face all their concerns and worries alone. Father, we remember the dying, asking for them eternal rest, while at the same time remembering those who mourn and asking that they might have your comfort. Lord God, we pray for those of all ages throughout the world who face difficulties because of natural disasters, persecution, or war. And we remember especially this morning the people in the very troubled and damaged city of Aleppo. We pray for those charities and their volunteers who immediately, at no cost to themselves, move in such situations to try and alleviate these people's plight. On this Children in Need Week, we cannot help but be moved by the illnesses, pain and despair some children must face. Lord, we pray for them all, and we pray for their families in what must be unbearable situations. Lord, guide our prayers and our actions in a way that makes us caring and willing, and as our Bible reading today described it, ready to take care of orphans and widows. Lord, be with those for whom we have prayed this morning, and be with us. Strengthen our faith in you today and every day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We conclude our service singing our final hymn, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King.
Standing, standing, standing.
forgiveness and cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing in the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Lord, may we go from this time of worship ready to reflect your love and our faith in you. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people. And may your grace, mercy, and peace be with each one of us and those whom we hold dear today and every day.